Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Came across this quote from Winston Churchill. He says, "The pessimist sees difficulty in every opportunity. The optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty." Winston Churchill also said, "Success is walking from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm." This is Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem, Ted Ross, Carissa Rogers on board. And we're going to talk today about work, about finding work. We'll talk about, you know, how to find it, how to keep it, how to enjoy it, how to get paid for it. So, you know, any of those that interest you in that list?
Sure, the paid part's always nice. Okay, there, right?
All right,
set me up for that.
We'll follow up on that. I was actually at the gym last night, and it was one of the TV monitors had Shark Tank on, so I was watching that. So we're going to ask our guests a little bit about Shark Tank. It was either that or the Republican National Convention.
Different kind of tank.
And I was sure same sharks, I think. But yeah. Their theme actually was Make America Work Again. That was the day two theme. So we're going to talk about, I don't know if they were implying that the country as a whole doesn't work in terms of function of government. There's probably some of that. But
sure, job creation, all that.
Yeah. We'll talk about that. A lot of people have been taking time off work to play Pokemon Go.
Oh, it was such a phenomenon. Are you familiar with it?
I don't really get it. Of course, you know me. I'm a tech guy.
But. Yeah. I don't actually have it on my phone either, but a friend of mine did show me basically how it works, and it is quite incredible how technology is being used for interactive games. I mean, it uses the camera function, the GPS function of your phone, and then it overlays in that these characters from Pokemon that you have to capture and get. But it's causing some problems around the country. People are – a couple guys fell off a cliff. I don't think they died, but they got hurt because they had their faces buried in their phone looking for these Pokemon monsters.
So the good news is they're going outside.
Yeah.
The bad news is they still have their face in the screen.
Yeah, right?
Here's a story. This is just looking in the news today. A Pokemon Go enthusiast slammed into a Baltimore police car while playing his game on the phone early Monday morning. In a body camera video released by the Baltimore Police Department, several officers are seen standing near a police car when this vehicle runs into the cruiser and continues driving. The officer runs after the vehicle, which is stopped near the end of the block. The driver gets out of the car, and the officer asks if everyone's okay. And the driver, whose face is blurred in the clip, shows the police officer his cell phone. And then, well, that's what I get for playing this dumb game.
Whoops. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
That is
what
exactly what you get. All right. Hey, speaking of what you can get, if you can sign up here for our Live Free Challenge in the next couple of days, you get a free T-shirt.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed that's good, that offer, until the 22nd. So if you sign up before the 22nd, so 2 days, right?
This Friday, right?
Yeah. Sign up for that. We'll talk more about the Live Free Challenge available here on Faith Radio. We're partnering with the International Justice Mission. It's a great cause, but you can go to myfaithradio.com, find out all about it.
Myfaithradio.com, easy to sign up there. Take advantage of this because it is really a wonderful way that we can make a difference to put an end to human trafficking. It's still a very real problem right in our own backyards in a lot of cities around America. So we're going to do our part through the Live Free Challenge.
It's a great opportunity. A number of people have signed up. A lot of dollars have been pledged already. We're excited about that, but we want to have you part of it as well. You're talking work today. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "Remember the Lord your God, for it's he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today." And, you know, a lot of us, and we may think of ourselves as entrepreneurs or small business owners, think, well, we've done it all ourselves. But remember that God is the one from whom all blessings flow. You know, we're going to talk about that today with Dan Miller, and we're going to get to that conversation in just a minute. But we share John Stonestreet's insights daily on The Point. And today he's giving a rather sad example of what happens when a business or industry is driven only by profits. You want to listen to this sobering news.
In case you missed it, clinics are selling baby parts. For the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, I'm John Stonestreet with The Point. Last Thursday, the House Selective Investigative Panel on Infant Lives released its interim report, which claimed that some abortion clinics and corporations are indeed trafficking in the body parts of aborted babies. There's a word for this, illegal, and the word reprehensible also comes to mind. The report, released 1 year after the Center for Medical Progress first undercover video of Planned Parenthood, was overshadowed by Donald Trump's choice for vice president, and it was trashed by pro-abortion members of the House panel. One member claimed the report was political and put lives at risk. As my colleague David Carlson pointed out at the Breakpoint blog, such rhetoric is ironic at best, given the report's detail on how clinics alter abortion procedures to ensure maximum profitability of the body parts they harvest. The panel's final report will be released by the end of the year. So which will prevail, the rule of law or reproductive ideology? Stay tuned. I'm John Stone Street.
Well, you're listening to Connecting Faith, and we're happy to connect back again with Dan Miller today, who's president of 48 Days LLC, specializing in creative thinking for increased personal and business success. He believes that meaningful work blends our natural skills and abilities, our unique personality traits, and our dreams and passions. And Dan is active in helping individuals redirect careers, evaluate new income sources, and achieve balanced living. And he believes that a clear sense of direction can help us become all that God designed us to be. And we're looking forward to talking with Dan again today. We've got a couple of copies of his book, 48 Days to the Work You Love, and we'll give those away today. And Ted, I think we'll give them away for the two best callers today with a question that maybe you're thinking about changing work or looking for some career advice, or maybe you want to be an entrepreneur. We're going to kind of focus on entrepreneurs today.
So. Little incentive. All right.
877-933-2484. Dan, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Thank you so much, Neil. I'm always delighted to be your guest.
There's been a lot of talk lately about living wage, about raising the minimum wage. I was just interested in maybe getting some of your reflection on that, because it seems like, aren't we really, in general, talking about revenue streams for, you know, providing for a home and family? So maybe it seems simplistic, but we could review what are the options for increasing that revenue stream.
There are so many options today, and the best options are not going to be where somebody is increasing the minimum wage to give you that. That's going to be a pretty tough way to ever get ahead if you're just looking at minimum wage. Now, the good thing about it is the market is very fair in that they pay what has to be paid to get a particular job done. I mean, if it's easy to get other people to stand in line and do what needs to be done, then you can pay a minimum wage for that. But as soon as you move into something that requires some kind of skill or unique talent, nobody's paying minimum wage for that. I mean, if I'm going to have somebody do graphic design, you know, I'm going to pay $40, $50 an hour for somebody good to do that. So as soon as you identify a unique skill that you've got, minimum wage is a non-issue. It's a non-issue for anybody that has anything in marketable skills. So then you start to look, okay, knowing what I know about myself, who are potential customers for that? How are ways that I can be paid for that? You go into the market with your head held high, your shoulders back, and there are amazing opportunities.
You know, it is interesting, though, that as the unemployment numbers come out in a month to month or quarter to quarter, that there, I think I saw just the other day, some 2+ million people sort of missing in that registry. And so, the unemployment rate would be about 6.9 instead of 4.7. People have just sort of dropped out, it sounds like, or have they found other things to do on their own so they become, you know, entrepreneurs?
Yeah, that's a great question. Statistics are interesting at best, and there's a whole lot of what happens in the real world that's not captured by government statistics. So when we see those numbers for unemployment, they also calculate what they call discouraged workers. It's a category that has always just dismayed me to even see it. But these are people that they say have looked for so long that they believe there's nothing available and they're no longer even looking. But the flip side of that is what you kind of alluded to. There are a whole lot of people who were on unemployment who have now figured out something they can do. I mean, they may be mowing yards or washing windows or detailing cars or doing a delivery or, you know, doing graphic design. You know, they've moved into things that are way more productive than just waiting and begging and hoping for some kind of a job. They've moved into that. They don't run a red flag up and tell the government they're doing that necessarily. So it takes a while for those numbers to really come through. But we're seeing thousands of people move very effectively into things where they have more personal direction in what they're doing, rather than just hoping to get a paycheck on Friday.
And
one of the things that I think is really interesting, I just discovered this, there's actually a provision when somebody is getting unemployment. You can draw up to the full 26 weeks of unemployment while you're building your own business. There are a few contingencies, a couple online courses you have to take, but if you really verify that you're working toward moving your own business, the government supports you in that period of time with unemployment. I think that's a phenomenal provision.
Wow, that's good news. We're going to get more great insight on finding the work you love and finding your passions and making that connection. And we invite you to join the conversation. We've got Diane hanging on the phone in Duluth. We'll get to her after this quick break. And we'd love to hear from you. We've got a couple of copies of Dan Miller's book, 48 Days to the Work You Love, to give away, and we'll do those to the best callers today as you talk about maybe finding work and doing what God has called you to do. How do we know what God has designed us to be and to do? And then how do we find satisfaction in our work today? Talking with Dan Miller. Dan is the president of 48 Days LLC, specializes in creative thinking for increased personal and business success, holds a master's degree in psychology, and draws from his business experience to help others develop more focused, balanced, truly successful lives. And we've got more coming up. Our phone number is 877-93-FAITH. Love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. Connected with Dan Miller today. Dan is the president of 48 Days LLC, specializing in creative thinking for increased personal and business success. He's a widely acclaimed author of 48 Days to the Work You Love, Preparing for the New Normal, No More Dreaded Mondays, Ignite Your Passion, and Other Revolutionary Ways to Discover Your True Calling at Work. And Diane is calling from Duluth. We're talking about work today. Diane, you're on with Dan Miller. Go ahead with your comment.
Hi, Dan. My comment is that, people should never give up. They should keep praying and asking God for direction in their lives. I had moved back to Duluth in 2002, and I literally had nothing. I had no car. I had a lot of people praying for me and supporting me. And I just wanted to say that I kept asking the Lord to show me what I should be doing. And 2 o'clock in the morning, one night I woke up and construction cleaning was on my brain, and I woke up the next day and I thought, okay, Lord, I'm supposed to start a construction cleaning business, and I did, and I've been doing it for over 10 years, and I think it's so important that people listen to that still, small voice, because that is the Lord prompting them, and then they should step out in faith and pursue it, and that's what I did, and God is good when he does provide.
Mm. Diane, thanks for your call.
Wow.
And your good story.
Absolutely. What a great testimony to paying attention to things that are probably already right under your nose. A lot of times people going through change, they are looking for something totally new and different that they've never experienced before. And usually the best opportunity is something that grows from and embraces what you already know and understand and care about. So paying attention to those, yeah, great example.
Well, Dan, and say a little bit more about, how do we – you work with people that, to find a clear sense of direction to become all God designed them to be. I think, we want to be passionate about our work. We want to be doing good work. But, how do you encourage people to maybe pray? And if they're in a time of transition, what are they asking God to direct them to? How should they pray about that?
Well, this praying involves gratitude and introspection for what God has already told us. 85% of the process of having the confidence of proper direction moving into career comes from looking inward. looking at what God has already told us. What are your skills and abilities? What are your personality traits? How do you relate best to other people? You know, we want to embrace things we know about yourself, not ignore them, thinking you have to be something other than what God created you to be successful. So skills and abilities, personality tendencies, and then the third area is what I call values, dreams, and passions. What are those things that when you're doing them, you really come alive? We talk about athletes being in the zone. What is it that when you're doing it, time just flies by? And even if those things seem unrealistic or impractical, those are usually the best starting places to develop what your next season of work is going to be. And it's never a matter, Neil, of just seeing who's hiring and getting a job. That's a horrible plan for getting employment. You need to start with what it is you know about yourself so you can go out into the workplace with confidence. These are God-given talents. This is what I do well. Then you make yourself an attractive candidate and certainly raise yourself on the economic scale dramatically.
Do you run into people maybe many times who say, well, you know, my passions, I just don't think are going to pay well. You know, is there really a job that is lines up with my passions and my values?
Yes. Running into that all the time. Somehow we have this myth that if I really did what I enjoy, then I'm going to have to learn to live on beans and rice. You know, we hear artistic people, of course, we know, you know, artists, we always refer to them as starving artists. Well, sure, you can't make any money being an artist. Well, yes, you can if you change your perspective on that and have a clear strategy for what that's going to look like. But we almost assume, and this is especially true of Christians, we almost assume that it would be too good to be true to do what I really enjoy in my work. Work is somehow meant to be something we really disdain. And we let it creep into our vocabulary, you know, thank God it's Friday, you know, oh God it's Monday. You know, we assume that work is something that we really dislike, just that bitter pill that we have to endure. There's nothing in the scripture, nothing about the teaching of living a Christian full life that would embrace that at all. We should be joyful. We should be great examples in what we do. And the only way that's going to work well is if we are in using the talents that we really have that are strongest. So if that's growing dandelions, I'd rather help somebody be really successful growing dandelions than try to talk them into being a computer programmer because we know there are great jobs for computer programmers. It just doesn't work well as a long-term plan.
Dan Miller is my guest today, and we're taking your calls at 877-93-FAITH. Tom's in Fargo listening to Faith 1200. Tom, you're on with Dan Miller. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that I have just recently gone back to work for someone other than myself, and I've been self-employed for over 25 years. I just wanted to encourage someone that's thinking of doing this, absolutely do it. But keep God first. And it really helps if you're married to have the support of your spouse. But I just wanted to say this. I can't wait to get back in business for myself. I've got a couple more things, a couple more businesses I'd like to do. But and this is just temporary to work for someone else. But I'm in a new area. But I've got ideas. So and he's right. You have to know what your strong suit is. You know, if you're in customer service, then probably working with concrete is probably not going to go together. So you need to. He's absolutely right. So,
Tom, thank you for your call and wish you much success in your search and your journey. And Dan, that's probably that's really a good word, isn't it? That we can do it if we have confidence, as you say.
Well, absolutely. And what Tom shared, I love his sharing that he's been in business for himself for a long time, but right now, in a period of transition, went and got a job. And there's no shame in that at all. It's not a matter of as you mature and really move up, even financially or whatever, that ultimately you're going to just be some raving entrepreneur. You may or may not. I mean, what I want to do is help people recognize the broad spectrum of opportunities so you can work for somebody for years and years and do that faithfully and with excellence. You can be a consultant where you have maybe five companies that you work for instead of just one. Or you could you know, buy that little lawnmower and go start a lawn mowing service. You could have a franchise where there's a proven model, so you're in business for yourself but not really by yourself. Or you can go all the way over to, you know, the kid who has a sports site where he updates sports information online every day and makes $200,000. You're doing that because he has a membership site. And all I want people to do is recognize a broad spectrum of opportunities and find what it is that fits you well and do that with excellence.
Well, let's take this next caller then, calling in from Sioux Falls, because, you know, she's, you know, that broad spectrum of opportunity has kind of maybe affected her in the fact that she's maybe got too many opportunities. So go ahead. You're on with Dan Miller. Hi, caller. You're on the air. All right.
Yes, I'm here. Sorry.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yes, I
do have gifts. I know that. And I do know how to use them. But I'm very ADHD. So sometimes I'm not as focused as I should be on one particular thing. And then there's the emotional aspect of you know, seeing the wrong thing at the wrong time because I'm frustrated and blurted out. And so sometimes it gets me in a little bit of trouble and keeps me back at my job. And it's not really what I want to be doing anyway, even though they are my gifts. I really want to be a writer or an editor. I'm very good at that. And I just need some organizational help and focus.
Well, let me we'll put you back on hold here. We got just a couple minutes before the break, Dan. Any advice you want to give this listener?
Well, that's a great starting point. You know, recognize that you're ADD and have a lot of ideas. And what a wonderful starting point. That's better than not having any ideas and just feeling stuck. But ultimately, you need to narrow down and say, okay, what are the two or three things where I could really excel? And then create a plan to do that. So if that's going to be writing and editing, as our caller identified, skills that she already has, that takes a lot of personal discipline. So you may want to have a schedule for yourself. And I write first thing in the morning. So usually like from 9 to 12 o'clock are the times when I write. So I'm focused on that. Don't wait for inspiration. You don't need to do that at all. If I have a writing assignment, I'm going to work on it in the same way as if I were laying bricks. So I'm working on it to do that. But people who have to provide their own self-discipline and motivation need a clear schedule so they end up being productive and not confusing activity with accomplishment. But you know, being ADHD, I mean, we're all a little bit that way. Again, creative people tend to all have a little bit of that in them. There are people out there like the president of JetBlue, you know, he's very ADHD, said he would not trade it because that is the one thing that has allowed him extraordinary success. People like Richard Branson, there's a whole lot of people out there who are highly creative who have turned that ability to have a lot of ideas into high level of productivity in a variety of things. So they're not stuck doing one thing where they get bored. You can embrace the fact that you're interested in a lot of things, but still have a clear focus for how you're going to be productive.
Talking today with Dan Miller. Dan is a best-selling author, and the books include 48 Days to the Work You Love, No More Mondays, No More Dreaded Mondays, and Wisdom Meets Passion. And we're talking today about finding work that really uses our gifts and abilities and values to God's glory. And we're going to talk a little bit about Shark Tank coming up here in the next segment. We've got some copies of the book to give away for your question, 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. We'll continue in just a moment. Regardless of the economy, we want to discover our calling and know that God can direct us and use us for His glory. We can find work that we love. We can make a difference, and we can do that, in not that long a time. 48 Days to the Work You Love, Preparing for the New Normal is one of the best-selling books from Dan Miller, and we're talking with Dan today. Dan's president of 48 Days LLC, specializes in creative thinking for increased personal and business success. And he has a number of resources available online, 48days.com, the number 48days.com. There's also, he has an online group that share ideas. We'll talk a little bit about that. He does a weekly podcast, which is much listened to, and so we'll give some more information about that as we go along. We do have a couple of copies of Dan's book to give away, and if you have a question, we'll give those to the best question today at 877-933-2484. Dan, I was at the gym the other night watching Shark Tank. Just interested in maybe your impression of that. Is that an accurate way that business actually gets done if you think you have a new product or service?
Oh, I love Shark Tank. I love seeing people come on there. And, of course, they're really vetted before they come on there. We see just a really short clip of what was a much longer process to get them to that point. These are people who have come up with an idea and they've taken some action. You can't just have an idea. You have to prove that you've taken action and had some level of success with it. And that's what's going to get you the opportunity to go on Shark Tank and to be sit in front of those brilliant people who have proven track records of their own and have them say, this is what you need to do. Or, I believe in what you're doing so much, I'm willing to invest money in it and partner with you. But it's just, it's a great synopsis. It's one of those things, you know, I think 5-year-olds can watch it and 90-year-olds can watch it and learn from it. But I think it's one of the best shows out there right now. And, you know, it's a very real way to get in the game.
Is it, is it better to pursue a product or a service? Is there one that has maybe a better chance of success than another?
Well, on Shark Tank, it really is going to be more product-focused. Mm-hmm. Products are more tangible. I mean, I have here, and I'm walking around the sanctuary, we just had family members here, and I've got 3 of these corduroy bean bags where you unzip them and fold out a queen-size mattress. Hmm. They're absolutely delightful. You can use them as bean bags. So that was one of the products that was on Shark Tank that went on to amazing success. But those are the kind of things that it fits better. Now, I'm not saying that it's better to have a product than an idea. I like things that are in the idea and information space. But you aren't going to go on Shark Tank and say, I have an idea for a book. You know, will you help with it? It doesn't fit their model.
Well, say a little bit more about just maybe in general, are there cautions or tips in terms of sharing our ideas with others, whether it's a product or a service or, wondering about a business starting out? Maybe you want to talk about your, 48days.net site as well.
Sure. And 48days.net, it's a social networking site that we have. There's about 16,000 members there now. There's no cost for membership. And these are people who are sharing ideas readily. But we believe in kind of the old cliche, a rising tide raises all ships. So people share readily their ideas and resources, and it helps elevate the success of everybody. And I believe in that principle. I believe there's much more risk in not sharing an idea and trying to bring it to market than there is in sharing the idea readily. And ideas are a dime a dozen. A lot of people think, man, I've got this idea, for McDonald's. If they would just pay me a lot of money, I'll tell them what it is. Well, that's ridiculous. That's never going to happen. They don't need your idea. Ideas only have meaning if there's been implementation. If somehow a person has created a plan of action, and then they have a story to tell, then people will get excited about it. But there's really not much risk in sharing ideas. Share them readily. Tell everybody who gets within 3 feet of you. What you'll learn in terms of feedback will be way more valuable than what you might risk in sharing that idea.
I was thinking about you just the other day. I was playing Frisbee with my grandkids and realized that we had 3 different kinds of Frisbees. There were variations of one, and all of them were, in theory, improvements from the basic one. So is in the products, is it easier to improve an existing one or to create something new?
Yeah, it's easier to improve an existing one. Boy, that's a great question. It's way more likely to be successful in just doing something 10% better to an existing product. Now, here's an example. If 80 years ago you said, I'm going to create this thing called a pizza. It's going to be flatbread with tomatoes and cheese on it. People look at you, what are you, crazy? Well, now we have Little Caesars, Pizza Hut, Papa John's, we can go on and on. It's a whole lot easier to get into a market where there's a proven market for the product and just do it better. And in that example, I mean, when Domino's got into that business, you would think, well, you either make a better pizza or sell it cheaper. They didn't focus on either of those issues at all. They rather guaranteed 30-minute delivery, and it created millionaires all across the country. So they came into an existing market, found a way to do something 10% better or add value to what was already there. That's the easiest way to make money that there is. And a lot of things, I've got a young guy right now who's working on a Frisbee. You mentioned that. He's very scientifically minded, and he's created a Frisbee with an enclosed ring around the outside that has like four ball bearings in there. And what happens when you throw it, the ball bearings, because of centrifugal force, lean out to the front edge and carry it about 30% farther than what it would normally go. I think the idea will make you millions because he's implemented, he's doing something with it, but it's just that little improvement on a very common existing product.
And do most of those, you know, when we're looking at improvements, come from something maybe we use every day? So we're at work, whether we're in maybe information technology or whatever it is, and we say, you know, if we could just do this a little better, it would make my job easier. Is that kind of how those things start?
They really are. I mean, just like what I'm looking at here, I described these corduroy beanbag mattresses. I mean, there's nothing new, unique, revolutionary. There's no high technology involved. It's just combining some things we already had. Boy, a mattress is kind of hard to store. But what if it was a mattress that would just fold up into a ball? You can spread it out quickly. It makes a comfortable mattress, but it fold up in a ball. Well, then how are you going to store that in an attractive way? What if we put it in a beanbag? Where now it can be used in a rec room, it can be used as a beanbag. It doesn't take up a lot of space. And we just unzip it and pull that out. Those kind of ideas, there's so much opportunity for those. Those are the kind of things that we see typically on Shark Tank, just a little bit of improvement on an existing idea.
Are there maybe unique strategies for categories, thinking maybe someone who's a bit of a stay-at-home mom, raising kids, wants to get back in the workforce, or maybe there's somebody, upper 50s or 60 and maybe getting downsized but not ready to stop working yet. Are those unique situations, or are the principles kind of the same for finding the next thing?
The principles are pretty much the same. The starting point that I encourage is always to start with you, the person. Don't just try to find an idea. Start with something you already know about and understand. I'll give you a quick example. Right here in my property, I mean, we have 10 acres just outside Franklin, Tennessee, so we're kind of in the country. Well, I wanted to create nature trails. Went back through the woods that we have, places for the grandkids to play and all that. Well, in doing that, it's expensive to get like mulch to put down or wood chips to put down. There's a lot of area that I wanted to cover. I saw these tree companies in our area trimming back from the electric lines, and they've had these big truckloads of just chipped wood. I talked to them. I befriended them. Now, frankly, usually they are hated in communities because they don't do a very artistic job of trimming back from the utility lines, and they make trees look really misshapen. I befriended four or five companies. I've had between 100 and 120 truckloads of wood chips dumped on my property. They are thrilled with me being right here. They don't have, other than me being a place to dump it, they would have to drive out into the country and pay to unload that. With that, I have created the most beautiful playground areas, nature trails, and then I have my neighbors thinking, wow, can I buy some of those wood chips from you? Well, you can have them. I didn't pay anything for them. They're just seeing an existing situation in a different way. But if I would want a business from that, I can get all the wood chips that I want. One of the things that we have as a play area are two big tractor tires that are buried about a third of the way in the ground. They're about 6 feet apart. They're buried in the ground, wood chips all around, and the tractor tires are painted. It's a favorite play area for my grandkids. Nothing in there costs me a penny. The tires I got from a local tire store. Sure, they're old tires. They replaced them. Do I want them? Sure, you can have them for free. They're just going to have to pay to get them hauled off. If I wanted to create playground areas, let's say that I would create a playground area like that and charge people $1,000, and it takes me a day to do it with a pickup truck. I got the materials totally free. I could put myself in business and do those again and again and again if I were looking for a business idea. But those are the kind of things that are usually right there. So when somebody's saying, oh, nobody's hiring, I'm like, so what? What is it that you can do that you would enjoy doing that would create instant income for you without having to be dependent on a company to write you a check?
Dan, you know, in the area of maybe work, career, and even entrepreneuring, a small business, there's probably going to be some setbacks, maybe even failures. You're not afraid of failure. Just say a word about to someone who might be dealing with a setback today.
Sure. We're going to experience setbacks no matter what it is we do. You know, I hear from people every day, as I did today, of a young gal who said, wow, she just got let go from her government job. Didn't see it coming at all. She doesn't have any savings, no reserves. She's terrified, afraid she's going to be homeless on the street with no insurance. Well, that's a typical reaction to that kind of event, or what we might call failure. But I don't think that in 30 days she's going to have those same feelings. I highly suspect that in 30 days she's going to look back and say, oh, my gosh, I was in a very mediocre job that I didn't enjoy anyway, and that push out the door gave me a chance to really take a fresh look at myself, and now I'm doing something where I'm making twice as much money and thoroughly enjoy what I'm doing. Failure is a necessary step toward ultimate success. We can't be highly successful. You will not talk to anybody who is highly successful who has not experienced a lot of failures. What I'd like to do is erase the word failure, see it as something else, because it's like taking a course in college. It's part of the process to get to the end goal. That's what failure is. It's just a necessary part of the process. So when I fail, and believe me, I have, I mean, but I'm not devastated when I do. I look at it and say, okay, what have I learned? And the larger question is, what does this make possible? That's what I ask myself when I have a failure. What does this make possible? What does this allow me to see that I didn't see before? What have I learned from what I just experienced? How can I go forward smarter, faster, and more productively and profitably than I've ever done before? So I don't cringe. When I've got a situation right now, and I won't take time to explain it fully, but there's a situation right now where I have been crushed by the results that I've gotten, and something that I thought would create extraordinary amounts of new revenue for me this year. It hasn't happened, and I'm just baffled by why it hasn't happened. But in doing that, it's not like I'm hanging my head and just going to go crawl in a hole somewhere. No, I'm going to take a fresh look. Talk to people who have been involved and figure out, what is it that I'm missing here? I mean, to me, it's intriguing to try to figure out, what is the missing piece that I somehow have not addressed well? And in that, I'm confident that I'll learn and go forward.
Good advice for all of us at whatever stage we might be in our work life about learning and going forward. We're talking 48 Days to the Work You Love. That's one of the best-selling books from Dan Miller. He's also written No More Dreaded Mondays, Ignite Your Passion, and Other Revolutionary Ways to Discover Your True Calling at Work. You can find out more about Dan's writing and his podcasts on the website 48days.com, 48days.com. And if you want to be part of that social network of sharing ideas, it's 48days.net. Dan, we always enjoy talking with you, and look forward to getting encouraged from you here sometime soon down the road.
Thank you so much, Neil. I hope we encourage your listeners, maybe move some cobwebs and help them have new ideas for moving forward as well. Thanks for having me as your guest.
Well, moving forward today, as we talk 48 Days to the Work You Love, we'll do a couple of takeaways coming up in a few minutes.
Is this the end? You get the question is, will you?
today with Dan Miller from 48 Days LLC, 48 Days to the Work You Love. Check out his website, 48days.com. Time for some takeaways. What are we taking away from today's conversation?
I appreciated what he said about following your passion and just how we have this idea that, oh, because we are passionate about something or gifted in an area, we think, well, we can't make money at that.
Sure.
It's not necessarily true. You never know what God can do. God can do anything. So pursue that passion.
Absolutely. And I would also add that when he was saying about finding the few things that you can do and do it really well, do it with excellence. And a scripture that came to my mind is Colossians 3:23. And the Bible reminds us that whatever we do, just work at it with all of our heart as working for the Lord. So doing everything unto the Lord rather than for humans. So that's a great reminder.
Good. Yeah, I was saddened to learn that activity does not equal accomplishment.
Yeah.
So that was my takeaway. Oh, shucks. Really appreciate Dan. We always like to get your feedback as well. You have some takeaways, you can give us a call at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. We always like to look at the conversation maybe from a little different lens as well. And not long ago, Bill Arnold was filling in for me on the show and had businessman, entrepreneur, and Crown Ministries President Robert Dickey on, who became an entrepreneur at a very young age. And he understands the importance of working for what you have, and it'll fit in nicely with today's conversation.
Something that I'm trying to drill into my children. So as a father of five, and my wife is pregnant with our sixth.
Yeah, congratulations.
Oh yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
we're very blessed. And you know, I look back in my adolescent, and things weren't handed to me on a silver platter, and partially because my dad, as a Baptist minister, you know, we didn't have a lot of extra in life. I mean, we were very blessed, but if I wanted something extra in life, I realized I was going to have to go out there and work for it. And so I became an entrepreneur at a young age and started mowing lawns and grew that business. And in Michigan, would shovel driveways during the wintertime. And I think it taught me the value of hard work, taught me the value of a dollar. It let me refine my skills as I negotiated with customers and, you know, things like that. And so I want my children to be brought up with that same type of mindset where they're taught the value of hard work. And so, you know, unfortunately, we do live in a day and age where life can be relatively easy for a lot of people in America, where everything is instant. Our kids live in somewhat of a lap of luxury. And so if you are a parent or a guardian, one of the best things that you can do is to take away some of those luxuries. Don't make it too easy on your child, because if you do, you're actually setting them up for a very difficult time in life, teaching them the bumps in the road early on. I'm so thankful that I had that experience of going out there and having to struggle in the winter times and shovel driveways and mow yards in the hot summer, because it taught me so much.
All right, so let's say I want to start my own business, and what if my motivations aren't really pure? Like, I can't stand people. I don't want to work with anybody. I've had it with my boss. I'm going to go prove to the world. Is that a good place to start?
Well, you know, the counsel I would give is, you know, one of my favorite quotes in this type of context would be, never run from something, but run to something. Mm-hmm. And I've seen people who have been very angry at work. They're like, oh, I can't stand my boss. I can't stand these people. I'm going to go prove them wrong. That's running from something. And I would say, hold on, time out. You know, Bill, Ted, you know, whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Let's sit back and let's make a plan. And let's first of all, seek God's guidance. And let's not make a decision impetuously, you know, out of anger or frustration, but let's really seek God's guidance. He's going to open up a door. He's going to show us the pathway. And let's find something that you're absolutely passionate about. Let's find something that you're excited about. And when we start to make that plan and we find that, now we're not running from a negative situation. We're running to a positive situation. And I feel that people are going to be much more successful in those types of environments.
It's Crown Ministries President Robert Dickey. He's a businessman, entrepreneur. And he's written a great book called The Leap. He was on with Bill Arnold on Connecting Faith not too long ago. You can find the full interview on the website at myfaithradio.com. Go to the Connecting Faith show page. Look for the podcast archives. We'll talk about what's coming up tomorrow in just a minute.
For Jan Gray, a mission trip to Haiti taught her a very valuable lesson about sharing Jesus Christ with people. Hi, I'm Steve Douglas with Making Your Life Count. And Jan tells us what she's learned.
A few years ago, I was in Haiti, and we were doing vacation Bible school activities, and the kids would start pressing at the gate to come in. But there was one little boy that, even though he was there every day, he wouldn't come in. And I would go and ask him, would you like to come be part of this? And he would say, no, my mother says I can't. Finally, on Thursday, I thought, well, let's just go talk to this mom. And she said it was fine for him to come. And the next morning, he was front of the line. He had mapped out what he was going to, the bouncy castle thing. He was getting his face painted. But very quickly, he came to me and he said, Miss Jan, when do I get to talk to Jesus?
What an encouragement. Want to learn more about how you can share your faith with people? Go to makingyourlifecount.com.
Coming up tomorrow, it's our monthly installment of Ask the Professor. Dr. Mark Muska is going to be in the studio and field your questions on the Bible, faith, and the church. And it may be that you have one kind of burning on your mind right now. You can submit it online. If you go to the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com, there's a little tab there that says Ask the Professor. So just submit your question there, and we'll make sure we get to it right away tomorrow on the show with Mark Muska as we ask the professor and we learn and grow together. It's a great time. So. Welcome. If you're new to Faith Radio, we had a caller from Hartford yesterday listening to Faith 1290, so we're glad to have you on board. Mm-hmm. Or tell your friends, too, about the Faith Radio phone app. You can listen anywhere, anytime on the app.
Yeah, that's pretty easy to do. If you have an Android device, go to the Google Play Store, Google Play, search for Faith Radio Network, and it's the free app download there, or on your iPhone device, the iTunes Store, Faith Radio Network.
August is going to be a time when we get fit together and make an impact on trafficking. And you can be a part of it. The Faith and Fitness Challenge, we're signing up for that right now, and we'll get ready for a great month ahead. And if you sign up before Friday, you get the free T-shirt, which,
right,
of course, is, you know, something. But no, more importantly, you're going to be making a difference for many who are enslaved in some form or fashion. So find out more about that, the Live Free Challenge, MyFaithRadio.com. Sign up for that, and then we'll see you tomorrow. You can always find out more about us on our website at MyFaithRadio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page.